D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick here with you on your drive home. And let's say hello to our good friend from ESPN, ESPN's Trevor Maddich, who has graciously taken time out of his day. I saw him on TV about 2 minutes ago, and I thank him for his time to talk to us. Trevor, what's going on?
Hey, listen, I appreciate you guys having me on. I love coming on with you, and you do a great job.
I appreciate it. So, Trevor, let's talk Titans for the first little bit here. I'll ask you the same question I just asked these guys. When it comes to Cam Ward throughout the season, he's had ups and downs. He had a bad game against the Las Vegas Raiders. He had a really good game this past Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. I ask you, Trevor, do you feel that Cam Ward's timeline matches up with the Titans in terms of his development?
I think it does, just because it was expected, right, that he would struggle this year. The offensive line was still coming together. The wide receiver group, I think people were hopeful, would be much improved. It turned out that they left a lot to be desired. Tony Pollard, as a runner, did well when he was called upon, but the team fell behind so far, so fast, so often, that the running game kind of gave way to the passing game. And all these things conspired to make it harder for Cam Ward than it normally is your rookie season. And so I think that he will make a big jump between this year and next year. Certainly against the Chiefs defense, he was fantastic. And people talk about Patrick Mahomes not being there, but Patrick Mahomes didn't play defense. You know, Gardner Minshew's backup, who's also hurt. So, I think he's in a good position now. Another thing that's good is that that offensive line does have some of the best young building blocks in the NFL. At right tackle, I think J.C. Latham will become one of the best right tackles in the league. Already, Peter Skoronski at left guard is one of the best left guards in the league. And then Lloyd Cushenberry, if he comes back at center healthy from that injury, he's one of the best young centers in the league. Now, those are good pieces to build around. Now, you have a quarterback with talent. You have an offensive line that can run the ball and protect him, which they still need to improve at both of those. Then you have a core, and you can get receivers. Even this year's draft, there's a lot of good receivers in this draft. And so that core of offensive line pieces and Cam, I think, tell me that he is getting better for all the right reasons, and I think he's going to be just fine.
Now, Trevor, when you look at this team, we're talking with Trevor Maddich, ESPN's NFL and college analyst. When you look at this team, we talked about this earlier in the week, the Titans, and what would they potentially need moving forward. We know the offensive line is doing a wonderful job now, at least over the last couple of games. It seemed like they're in sync. And you're right about Peter Skoronski. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level, damn near at an All-Pro level. I think JC has gotten a lot better. And then Cushenberry, you know, once he fully gets over that injury, I think he'll be good. But what do you think about adding a running back like Jeremiah Love to the equation? Because we look at Pollard, he's a good back, but I think he deserves to be on a team that is ready to make the Super Bowl. I'm not sure if his sort of quality of running or style of running at this point in his career is beneficial for the Titans, because they're such a young team. So what do you think about a Jeremiah Love being added, or a guy like that being added to this offense?
The dilemma, Derek, I think for the Titans will be that Jeremiah Love is at a position running back where you kind of rotate guys through, use them up, and then spit them out. But he is an elite talent. He's an outstanding receiver. I mean, he makes one-handed Odell Beckham Jr. style catches all the time for Notre Dame. And he's got the speed to outrun every defensive back on the field for 90-yard touchdowns. He does it all the time. And so when you've got a guy that is strong running between the tackles, and he's got the speed to turn a 15-yard run into an 80-yard run, and he's an elite receiver coming out of the backfield, then the dilemma it poses is that, do you take that guy who's an elite playmaker and an elite talent, even though he's in a position you could probably fill by rotating several guys through and keeping him fresh? And in the case of Love, if they drafted him, I would not be upset about it just because of that. I mean, you don't want to draft positions because of need unless the guy there at that position is worthy of that pick. and there isn't somebody else at a different position that you might not need as much who is more talented. Because otherwise, if you draft for need instead of talent, you end up over time populating your team with a lower overall level of talent. And so Jeremiah Love would be a tremendous addition anywhere, including to the Titans.
Now, moving forward, looking at this Titans team, Trevor, what are some things? Obviously, we talked about the run game, that it has improved. But what other areas of this team have you seen improve? Cam, I believe he is getting better based upon the numbers and just watching him ever since the bye week. But what else have you seen from this team that has caused you to think, okay, they may not be as bad as what we think they are?
Well, as bad as we think, I think the defense, especially the front seven, has got some excellent building blocks. I mean, obviously Jeff Simmons is, a Pro Bowler this year, and he's one of the best in the league at his position. I think T'Vondre Sweat has gotten better this year when he's been on the field. You know, you've got Cedric Gray at linebacker, who's been a revelation this year, young guy with a huge upside. I think you've got good pieces to build there. I think at corner, you're going to need to bulk up a little bit, especially in depth. But really, to me, it's still all about Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. And as the offensive line continues to be bolstered, I think the receivers right now are maybe the worst receiver room in the league. And I'm not saying guys aren't trying hard. I'm just saying that from a talent level and production standpoint, this receiver group is not helping the quarterback. And when you've got one excellent receiver, that guy can make a quarterback look really good. If you've got that excellent receiver and two more guys that are very, very good, all of a sudden things tend to open up because now you can create matchup advantages. Look at Jefferson for the Vikings. Everybody tries to take him away, and they still can't do it. But then Addison and other guys for the Vikings are out there against lesser coverage guys, and they're able to win because they're not facing the best cover corner on the opposing defense most of the time. And so the Titans just don't have that kind of threat level in depth at receiver. When they get it, it'll make it a lot easier for Cam Ward, not just because the guys will be more open, but because they'll make more of the boring plays that move the chains and allow the play caller to then use counters off of those plays and deceptions off of those plays and all the things that you do when you string together a bunch of first downs. And the Titans really aren't able to do that right now. And a big reason is nobody fears their wide receivers.
We're talking to Trevor Maddich. And Trevor, I'll shift over to the college ranks here. And I have pronounced myself over the years as an SEC snob, having played in the league, not in football, but I just, you always are biased that way. We know how the perception of the SEC football is they're better than everybody else. But, of course, they haven't won the last two national titles. And we had a really good caller yesterday sort of laying out the draw with Texas A&M going down. There's a real chance because Ole Miss and Georgia play each other and they may not win it again. How much do you think the perception of the SEC is at stake here as we move forward in this draw?
Willie, I think a lot of people want to hate the SEC. I think the desire to hate is strong. It's like the desire to hate the Yankees, right? I mean,
yes.
You don't really hate the Blue Jays, do you? Or the Brewers. But, man, you want to hate the Yankees if you don't love them. And I think that's the way it is with the SEC. And you're right, the way things are now, Ole Miss and Georgia do play each other. The winner of that game will play the winner of Miami and Ohio State, and both of those teams are national championship caliber. And then the remaining SEC team is Alabama. They face Indiana. And Indiana doesn't have any weaknesses. So you're right, this could end up knocking the SEC out of the national championship for the third straight year. And if it does, I don't think it changes the reality of the SEC. I mean, in the 12-team playoff, there were three Big Ten teams and five SEC teams to start it. The reality remains the same, but the perception, I think people will want the perception to change, and you'll hear about it for 365 days until somebody wins the next national championship. But that's great about college football because, love and hate are very close together. And I don't think it matters for college football if it's loved or if teams or conferences are loved or they're hated. as long as people are not indifferent. And so I'll take the hate all day long if I'm the SEC.
For sure. Do you think Alabama found their groove? Remember, they had not played well in a good while, and then they find themselves down 17. What did you think of the way they rallied, and will that be a momentum builder for them?
Yeah, you know, it looked like in the beginning when they trailed 17-0 to Oklahoma, that Alabama was kind of soft and buttery and doughy and weak and just not altogether very interested in being awesome. And, you know, they had lost in the last – or they won in the last game of the regular season, a tight one to Auburn, who's not very good this year. And then in the SEC championship game the next week, Georgia pasted them, held Alabama to -3 rushing yards. -3 rushing yards in the SEC championship game. Okay. Then they go down 17-0 in the next game to Oklahoma, and it's like, okay, well, Alabama's going to get run out of the building. And all they did next was – outscore Oklahoma 34-7. And it looked like the kind of physical, intimidating Alabama teams that we saw under Nick Saban. Now, they're not quite that talented right now, especially when you talk about the running game and things like that. But you had that look, you had that feel that Alabama figured out how to play like Alabama. And that is their chance against Indiana, because Indiana is just too skilled for Alabama to keep up with, I think, especially on offense. Indiana, keep this in mind, had 6 games of 300-plus rushing yards. 6 games where Indiana rushed for over 300 yards, in addition to their Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback throwing the ball, right? Well, Alabama can't run the ball, so they're not there yet. But sometimes fury and anger and just pure raw aggression can knock skill onto their backside. And that's what Bama needs to do. And they did that to Oklahoma when they went on that 34-7 run.
Trevor, I'm curious what you think the Michigan search is going to look like here. I just got sent a note from our producer, David Janes, about maybe some rumors about Jeff Brohm as a guy that could be emerging now that Louisville is going to be done. Where do you think that search is headed?
Yeah, Jeff Brohm would be great for Michigan, great for Michigan. I mean, he's a brilliant offensive mind. He's a brilliant mentor of quarterbacks. I don't know that he'd want to go, though, because really Louisville can pay him about what Michigan can. And the thing about Brohm is that his family in the city of Louisville is royalty. I mean, the Brohm brothers' father is a legendary high school coach. The brothers all played quarterback for Louisville. And if Jeff Brohm stays there and then wins, you know, pulls off a few ACC championships over time, stuff like that, makes a run in the playoffs once in a while, they won't just name the field after him. They'll probably name the stadium after him. And there's a legacy. I mean, you bring your grandkids to the stadium named after you and show them your statue out front. Or you go to Michigan, make about the same amount of money, and if you don't win at a high enough level soon enough, well, you get bounced, and then what do you do? So, you know, he may want to go to Michigan. He may think he's got a better opportunity to get to a national championship there. All the things that playing at a program like Michigan or coaching at a program offer you. But the question is, in this day and age, is it really the better choice for the long-term trajectory of your career? And that's what Michigan's facing. Now, I think they'll have choices of good coaches at Michigan. And I think really whoever takes the job will have more upside potential, a higher ceiling than they did with Sherrone Moore, the coach that just got fired for personal reasons. And, you know, because Moore, when you watch that team play, they had a high floor. I mean, they played well, but the way they play, it just didn't seem like the ceiling was all that high from a standpoint of competing at the top tier of college football and winning those games on the way to a national championship. And so I think that Michigan will long-term end up with a better opportunity to win at the highest levels than they would have with Sherrone Moore. But I don't know if Brohm would be the guy, because even though he'd be good for them, I don't know that he would think they would be good for him.
Talking to ESPN's Trevor Maddich. Trevor, I'm curious on your thoughts on this. In the opening rounds of the college football playoff, we saw, I understand it's a rare case of this, but we saw 2 Group of 5 teams get in. Tulane didn't ever seem to really put up a fight against Ole Miss. JMU seemed to put up a little bit more of a fight towards the end towards Oregon, and still couldn't get it done. And a lot of people are calling for the elimination of the Group of Five being in the college football playoff. I'm curious of your thoughts on this. How do you handle this situation? And would you consider making a full Group of Five college football playoff separate from the current college football playoff?
I think that would be an interesting thing. I mean, the NIT still exists in basketball, right? And, you know, I think there's, you know, there are ways to maximize finances besides just trying to compete in the playoff for the Group of Five. But, you know, I think the way that Tulane and James Madison lost will provide a catalyst towards making changes in the way there are automatic bids for the top five highest ranked conference champions. One thing you could do is just go to 16 teams, and that would solve the problem most of the time. Another thing you could do is go to the top four highest ranked conference champions instead of the top five, which still keeps the door open for the Group of Five. But as this gets done, there's two things to remember. The first one is the law, because you don't want to run afoul of collusion and monopoly statutes, which is possible, and certainly they'll be in court if they do things the Group of Five considers to be exclusionary. The other is, up until this year or up until next year, the way that the big changes in the playoff were made had to be by consensus, which means you had to have approval of the Group of Five in order to make big changes. Starting next year, the Big Ten and the SEC will make all the decisions. And so if everybody else disagrees with what those two conferences do, it doesn't matter. They'll do it anyway. But they've got to do it in a way that doesn't put them in court. And so these are some ways that they might be able to achieve that.
The Ole Miss and Georgia game, I know they played during the season. Georgia ended up winning that game as a high-scoring game. How do you see this game going now, this go-around?
Yeah, that's a great question, because when they played in the regular season, the Georgia defense couldn't stop Trinidad Chambliss, the Ole Miss quarterback, for the first three quarters. I mean, he was their leading rusher. He was great through the air. And they scored 35 points in three quarters against Georgia. But then in the fourth quarter, Georgia shut him down. Ole Miss didn't score in the fourth quarter, and Chambliss threw 10 passes, completed one of them for 1 yard. And that really marked the turnaround for the Georgia defense, because mid-season, prior to that point, Georgia's defense really struggled in some ways, especially in playing the downfield pass. And that's one of the ways that Chambliss burned them in the first three quarters there. But then in the second half of the season, they tightened it up tremendously, and they became one of the best overall defenses in college football. And the last four games that Georgia played, the highest score by an opposing offense was 10 points. That's it. No one scored more than 10 points. No one scored two touchdowns in the last four games. That's how good Georgia has become. So Chambliss, in order to win this game, has to be even better than he was the first time around. And he will be better because, you know, he's got, you know, six or so extra starts under his belt. But Georgia's defense is a completely different animal than it was when they played the first time. And so, to me, this is a really tall order for Ole Miss.
He's ESPN's Trevor Maddich, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, where experience matters. Trevor, thank you again for the time. We have thoroughly enjoyed the football conversation. Happy holidays to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy holidays to you guys. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
No Trevor Maddich, again, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. We'll step aside, come back, react to some of what Trevor had to say. Plus, I want to take the conversation, based on the ideas he gave us, on the G5, should they get their own playoff? We'll discuss that coming up next, right here on DVD on 102.5 The Game.